Reading from Luke chapter 6, just remind yourselves, what's the memory verse? Do you still remember it? Very good. And of course, the chapter is Luke chapter 6, that we'll be reading.
You're not about direction side this morning, aren't you? We've had various picks. We all know the way to Southwold. There's a famous seaside... Sorry, that was yesterday. I will have to start bringing my own glasses. When David leads, he always asks me to read. So I borrowed the lovely Mrs. Robinson's glasses this morning, which will be full of fingerprints by the time they go back, called the very focal, so you'll see. I'm not nodding off. The readings take, it's on page 1034 following in the Church Bibles. I think it'll appear behind me in the translation. But it's Luke chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 27. But I tell you, who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him and the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognised by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. May God bless the reading of his word to us.
Invite Chris to the platform. Oops, no, we're not ready.
Good morning and welcome to us if you're a visitor with us. We've been going through a little series which we are in step with our children's work here, looking at the life of Jesus. So I thought it was quite a big challenge when I was told that that was the topic. But we've broken it down into a few easy to digest portions, and we've been thinking about Jesus' life. We started, obviously, near the beginning of Jesus' life, thinking about Jesus as a child. We thought about how Jesus manifests God with us, that he lived as a young man, a young boy, with his family, fulfilled those family duties, and went through the religious training that was appropriate for that time. And as he grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in favor with God and with men. He began his public ministry at his baptism. We saw how After 30 years of relative obscurity, he burst onto the public scene with a public baptism, but also being anointed by the Holy Spirit to go and to preach good news, to go out to preach good news. We saw the way that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So this is the way that his ministry began. And then we thought next of the way that he called disciples. We looked at the three significant reasons why Jesus called disciples at all. The first was that he called disciples so that he might demonstrate that he had come to bring something more than a teaching. The gospel isn't primarily a teaching to be learned, but a love to be experienced. And people, men and women, needed to live with him, to live with God, to see and to know that love. Secondly, he called them so that they might be witnesses of everything that he said and did, so that we can have a true record of what Jesus did as the Messiah, as the one who brought the truth of God. And thirdly, he came with that invitation that they might become part of the kingdom-building process, that the disciples would themselves take on showing and teaching the kingdom of God to others. So choosing and calling disciples was a crucial part of Jesus' ministry. Today we're going to look more deeply at Jesus' teaching work. Now, we had a wonderful reading there, which any verse of which could have made several sermons, couldn't it? There are some lovely reminders, I hope, of things you've heard before. And sometimes when you hear them afresh, Jesus' teaching is still powerful. Just a sentence or a couple of words of what Jesus says has such power to convict and to change our thinking. We've seen the importance of the way in which Jesus taught a small group of disciples to follow him and to learn his way of love. But that's not the only way that Jesus taught. Jesus opened his teaching ministry by declaring the year of the Lord's favor, saying that there would be the preaching of good news and demonstrations of the Spirit's power. And at the end of Luke chapter 4, he declared that he must preach the good news of the kingdom to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So preaching of the good news through the towns of Israel was the reason that Jesus was sent, Jesus says. So preaching, then, is a central feature in the life and public ministry of Jesus. It occupied much of his time. In his preaching, Jesus brought good news of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He didn't bring that teaching in secret to the religious elite, but he proclaimed it to the crowds, to anyone who would listen. He taught through parables, stories with that deeper meaning. He also taught by answering and asking questions. He used humor, illustrations from everyday life. He was able to debate with theologians and be understood by fishermen. He taught with authority, bringing a revelation of the true meaning of the law and the prophets. But have you ever wondered, why did Jesus spend so much time on teaching? What does it reveal about the Christian faith that Jesus occupied his time with preaching and teaching? Well, I've stressed that the way Jesus related to people, such as the disciple, demonstrates that our faith is not primarily a teaching to be learnt, but a love to be experienced. But Jesus did not come only to win our hearts, but our minds also. Because it's through the renewing of our mind that we are transformed. The Jewish faith was rooted deeply in the study and exposition of the scriptures. Every parent was commanded to teach God's word to their children. And Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our... Good, some of them awake. With all our mind. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are renewed by the transforming of our mind, or transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this didn't end with Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he spoke to the disciples once more, and Luke 24, verse 45, we're told that then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. It's interesting to note what Jesus opened their minds to understand. So in verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So he opened their minds to understand that the good news that they had heard would be preached through them to the whole world. It was Jesus' expectation that the Spirit would continue to do that opening of their mind. In John 14:26, he says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." So the Holy Spirit comes to bring that remembrance of what Jesus has said, to remind us and to teach us everything, all the things that Jesus wants us to know. Jesus' teaching was very different from the teaching of the religious leaders of his day. Instead of burdening people with more and more laws and regulations to follow, Jesus brought a teaching that gave hope to those in despair and light to those in darkness. And the power of Jesus' words is that they're prophetic words. They have the power not only to declare truth, but to transform people's lives and minds and hearts, to transform the situation. Jesus' words are powerful to bring the transformation about which they speak. So what's the good news in this teaching? We've been looking at four questions. Why has it been included in the story? What is the good news? So what? And now what? So we've been thinking about why Luke's included this passage. Now we're thinking about what is the good news. Well, it's good news that none are excluded from this preaching. Jesus proclaimed it to all. None is excluded from hearing about God and his ways. Jesus' teaching is not only for theologians, but for everyone who is willing to listen. We're invited to become part of that kingdom-building work. We therefore need to understand, to be able to give a reason for our faith. Yes, we're told we need a new heart, but in the Hebrew thought, the heart was as much about thought as it was about feeling. So it's not unspiritual to think. That's good news, isn't it? It is for a scientist like me. It's not unspiritual to think. Indeed, we need the Holy Spirit to open our minds, to teach us all things, including chemistry, physics, mathematics, and theology, and remind us of everything that Jesus has said to us. In the midst of pursuing our own thinking and our own understanding, we need to be reminded about what Jesus has said. We're told that the Father looks for worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So teaching and following the way of the Spirit work hand in hand. There have been times in church history where denominations or individuals have been led astray by simply doing what they feel is right, rather than referring to what God has said is right. There have been other times in history where we've gone into legalism and we've been bound by legalistic letter of the law and not been empowered by the movement of the Holy Spirit. We need both, the Spirit and the Word. So the good news is that I'm not wasting my time. And you're not wasting your time. Because to be taught about God and His ways isn't just something about information. There are times when we might sit through a service and you'll learn no new information. Yet, hearing the Word of God again in that situation and for that day brings you hope, brings you light, gives you the power to go on. Have you experienced that? Sometimes you hear the words you've heard 100 times, but now it is for you. And this day, it gives you that strength to continue in your faith. So the reason that I can have confidence that what I'm doing isn't a waste of time is that the teaching I'm bringing you has power to transform, not just truth to proclaim. It has power to transform because it's not my message. I bring you the same message that the Lord Jesus proclaimed to those first disciples. The good news that there is a way to be forgiven of sins through repentance that brings us back into the right relationship with God. So what? Well, it's clear from Jesus' commission that we're not only to make disciples, but to teach them to obey everything that He has taught us. We're also told that we should preach good news to all nations. This goes a little contrary to some of the teaching in the wider church at this time. You may well have heard it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You may have heard it ascribed to St. Francis of Assisi. He never said that. He never would have said that, because everywhere he went, he preached the gospel with words. If anyone was equipped to preach the gospel without words, by doing miracles, it was Jesus Christ. He went around preaching the gospel. He used words. So this may be bad news for you, but what this means is you can't just be nice and live a good Christian life. You do occasionally actually have to speak about your faith. I'm sorry. But the good news is that that proclamation isn't, God doesn't ask you to do something you can't do, but only to give witness to what you have experienced, what you know of God's love in your life. So study of the Bible, learning more about Jesus' life, death and resurrection, learning more about our Heavenly Father, about Holy Spirit, they're all important to our faith. But as with Jesus, the Holy Spirit not only imparts knowledge, He also brings transformation through His Word. So as we speak to others, as we speak and pray over those words that are spoken, it's not the content of the words, but the Holy Spirit working through those words that has the power to transform people's lives. So we're called to learn and to teach the words of life that the Spirit speaks. Now what? Whether you simply dwell on one word or write a dissertation on Ecclesiastes, and I have read one, as we study God's word, we are transformed if we remain open to His Spirit. God doesn't expect us to do what we're not capable of, but to those whom much is given, much is expected. Not all of us are called to be teachers, but we do each have easy access to His Word, and we've all received lots of teaching. And hence, there is much to be expected of us, that we should be able to give a reason for our faith and to answer those who ask. I was once on a mission trip in Africa and was invited to teach some pastors about the Bible. And so I began the talk by saying, you all know John 3:16, at which point they all looked at each other, got together in a little group, discussed amongst themselves, nominated one person who then stood up and repeated John 3:16. I realized that I pitched my talk at the wrong level. that they barely knew John 3:16. They hadn't been in Sunday school since they were little dots. They hadn't gone to theological college. They'd just been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and gone out one after another down the village roads planting churches. They knew far less of the gospel than you know. And they were trying to pastor churches. You've been given much. What you've been given, share. Share a little of what you've heard of the teaching of Jesus. It's not your teaching, but it has the power to transform the lives of those you live among. So not all are called to be teachers, but all of us should be able to give a reason for our faith and to answer those who ask. I wonder if it's time to challenge yourself a little more. Maybe you've been using the same Bible reading notes for the last 40 or 50 years, and you love them. You always do Every Day with Jesus. You always do Word for Today, whatever it is. How about having a change? How about challenging yourself to just take a step deeper, a step further, to hear different voices, to hear perhaps something that will take you a little deeper in understanding the Word of God. Maybe for others it will be to take a short course or to take some study that will deepen your knowledge of Scripture. Or to attend a small group to study with others. To inspire yourself to study a little harder, to study a little deeper. What about rediscovering the discipline of reading a book? I'm looking at Leslie here, who's a librarian, because I know she'll smile at me as I say that. Do you remember books? They look like this. I was listening the other day, and somebody was saying, we think it's amazing that a four-year-old knows how to use a smartphone and to scroll across. But you give a four-year-old a book, they know how to turn pages. It's the same technology, actually. There's quite a lot of good information in these things. And the discipline of reading a book is that you read it one chapter after another. And you keep going until you get to the end. What do you do if you're like me and you're mean? You like to get your money's worth out of a book. You read it front to back, you know, including all the notes in the back. So reading a book, and particularly Christian books, has gone out of fashion. There are very few Christian bookshops left, partly because of the internet, but partly because people just don't read books as much as they used to. But how many of you know a time in your life when your life was transformed by reading a book? As you read a biography of somebody's life, or saw something in a different way as you read a teaching book? If we give up reading books, we lose that opportunity. So yes, use YouTube, use all those different gizmos, but read a book occasionally as well. We're also trying to provide ways of encouraging teaching in the church, and one of these is our Away Day, which is on the 15th of October. We'll be talking about discovering our gifts, and that is for anyone who would like to come to that day, teaching about what gifts God has given you and how you might use them to serve Him. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you didn't just bring rules and regulations, but you brought new life. We thank you, Lord, for the transformation that you bring that doesn't just tell us what we should do, but gives us the power to become the people that can do it. Thank you, Lord, that you're transforming us to be like you. And so, Lord, I pray for this congregation and those that will hear this message. Would you set our hearts on fire to preach the good news, to speak of you in our conversations, to share that knowledge of those verses that we do know, and to bring hope and light to those we live among. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.